When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast may contain coarse language. Listener's discretion is advised. Also, this podcast will obviously contain spoilers for Demon Slayer. Please beware. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the Demon Slayer podcast. I am VLord GTZ. And welcome to our second round of Demon Slayer Mugen Train discussions. This time, focus more on the English dub. And with me today to talk about it, we first have our kind of usual rotation of folks, being Laser Kid, J-Mac, and Alien.
Well, we certainly aren't in Mugen.
Well, that's because nothing bad happens there, remember?
Apparently, yeah, nothing bad happens on the train. But to also ensure that nothing bad happens on the train, we have a returning guest after a very long time, because we had him on an episode super long time ago, R-Dragon.
Rawr.
That was a very good response, R-Dragon. And also with us, a new guest, Seraph.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, so now that we've all been introduced, we're going to first talk about our theater experience. And I already talked about mine on the previous episode, so we're going to skip over me because I'm not important. But Laser, R-Dragon, J-Mac, and Seraph, you all saw it together, correct?
Yes, we did. I was not ready. I read the manga ahead, but I was not ready.
Yes, so does one of you want to talk about kind of how it was seen in the theater, kind of your reactions, your feelings?
So the movie was so... Like, at first I thought I'd walked into the wrong theater at the beginning, because the opening, I thought it was a live-action movie.
Oh, that's right, at the very beginning.
Oh, that's right, I remember, yeah, you came in a little later.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, it was at the very beginning of the movie. It, like, looks at, like, a tree near water, and it looks...
Oh, that's right, yeah, now I know what you're talking about. Took me a second.
Yeah, that was surprising.
They did a couple of things like that. I actually wonder if they did some filming with like real live action and just kind of transposed.
Those were definite models once I really looked at them.
Yeah, Ufotable just has a very talented digital team.
I mean, no question there. Jeez. Lots of crazy. The show is really good, but the movie is just like, oh, hey, let's go up an amp.
Oh, yeah, I think it was definitely worth watching in the theater.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think I'll briefly revisit what I thought J-Mac was talking about. When you said that you might have walked into the wrong theater, what I thought you meant was how empty the theater was, like just how few people were actually there.
Oh, yeah. I think there was like one other group besides us.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty normal right now.
Yeah, but for Demon Slayer...
Yeah.
I saw a lot of groups that got turned away because the movie was rated R.
Wow.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, because like in my area, my showing that I went to, because I went on the first day it was out, the preview day on Thursday, it was packed. And there were people of like all ages in there. So I'm kind of surprised that yours was a bit more empty.
I mean, we did go on Sunday, so it wasn't the first day.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was kind of nice because we were just, you know, pretty chill all by ourselves. We had a couple like several rows back. It wasn't that bad. And the just having a nice big screen for it was nice too, because there's so much detail we'll take in.
Oh yeah, like I like to say that at least for me, even a bad movie on the big screen is still a movie on the big screen.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that, R-Dragon. Like, even the worst of movies kind of feels a bit better on a big screen at times. And with how good Demon Slayer Mugen Train is, that made it even better. But what if us didn't see it on a big screen?
One of us got it quite by a fluke.
Yes, they saw it through special circumstances, and that is Alien. So, Alien, you want to explain how you watched this movie?
So, I was planning on going to see it at the theater, but, like, I would have to either wake up really early or stay up really late because I work night shifts, and the last showing would be at 7, and 7 is when I usually wake up. So, I was like, I guess I'll probably wake up early on, like, Monday or Tuesday or something. Until last night, when, for some reason, somebody at Sony said, fuck my job, and put the entire movie up to purchase completely on PlayStation Video. So, I'm like, yoink, before they take that shit down.
I tried to yoink and it wouldn't let me, but you got it.
Yeah, there's a reason they're shutting down PlayStation Video, because it kind of sucks.
So, I didn't watch it on a big screen. I watched it on a pretty small screen, because phone, but I mean, I didn't care. I just didn't want to go out during the middle of the freaking Panda Express and watch a damn movie at a theater.
Completely fair. And honestly, I don't blame anyone for buying that movie. Cause
no,
like,
no, man, they're selling it to you. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's legal.
Sony's own fault.
Completely legal. I supported the official release. Can't dog me on that.
But I'm assuming like watching it at home didn't really hinder your experience at all.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I didn't really start watching anime movies at theaters until 2019. So, I mean, I'm not even really an experienced weeb film theater guy. So I'm just like, hey, if I get to watch it, I get to watch it, man.
Completely fair. Yeah, I mean, like, it's interesting to me that, like, something that big of an F-up could even happen.
I love how it kept going back and forth. Like, okay, we fixed it. It's down. It's right back up.
Yeah. And, like, I've worked for large corporations before, and I know that's not as simple as just, like, hitting, like, a checkbox or anything to remove these, but it was up for, like, over 10 hours. That is, like, ridiculous.
Yeah. And every time they tried to solve it, like, it just wouldn't go away.
Like, it's fixed. Nope, just kidding. It's back. It's fixed. Nope, it's back.
It's probably some chaotic motherfucker there who just wanted to watch people squirm. And I applaud them for that, because they did a really good service there.
Yeah, and in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to affect theater sales that much. This movie's already made $21 million plus in the box office, and it's on track still to outsell Dragon Ball Broly. So I don't think that's changing. The audience for who's probably gonna watch whatever leaks of it are out there now is very different than the audience that's gonna go see it in a theater at this point.
I mean, honestly, if you were gonna go, you know, not go see it, you weren't gonna go see it anyway.
Exactly.
At this point, yeah, at this point, the people who would have pirated it are already still just going to pirate it anyway.
Yep. Yeah. 100%.
And there's definitely going to be people like me that are probably going to see it like 2 or 3 or 4 more times.
Oh, yeah. Ideally, I would have wanted to watch it another time. That's how I usually do movies before reviewing them. I watch them twice, but
yeah, I mean, I saw it once on a Thursday subbed and then again the following day dubbed, so I got 2 helpings and different audios.
Although I did take great joy in being able to say the word Rengoku to my coworker and just watching him just be like, shut up! Shut up!
I remember one of our mutual friends who couldn't make it asked me how the movie was, and I just sent him a gif of Tantra just crying and hugging his siblings. He's like, oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but no, like, he had seen the movie on Sunday as well, so I took great joy.
That's great. Was that Bagelson you got?
No.
Okay.
He's seeing it tomorrow. He's seeing it either today or tomorrow.
Excellent.
That's funny. So I know like Laser, J-Mac, and Alien had read the manga for this arc, but R. Dragon and Seraph, had you had any experience with the Mugen Train arc before this film?
No.
Absolutely none at all.
Yeah, I typically don't read like mangas. I'm more strictly an anime person, and part of that is because when I watch the animes, I like to go into I like to go into them, you know, as blindly as possible. I don't want to know what's going to happen ahead of what I'm about to see. So for, you know, this movie, you know, I hadn't read the manga or anything, didn't know what was going to happen at all. And for me, I prefer it that way because, you know, like, I feel like the impact of, you know, what happened in the movie wouldn't have had as much of an impact had I read the manga first. Because I would know what's going to happen.
That didn't help me. Did it help you? Jay?
No.
It's an accurate thing to say. But considering how much Ufotable puts into their adaptations, yeah, it's like an entirely different beast altogether.
Yeah, no, that's what surprised me, because, like, obviously going in, I, like, knew, okay, Rengoku's gonna die. This is, like, gonna be pretty sad, but, like, the combination of the music and the performances really kind of made me start to tear up again, and it, like...
Like, I for sure thought that it wasn't going to get me by the time, like, he was giving Tanjiro his pep talk. I'm like, okay, I'm tearing up. I'm not gone yet. And then Rengoku's mom appeared. And when it was like, fuck.
My favorite song, I set you guys up. I'm like, the only thing I'm going to tell you about this movie is nothing bad happens on trains. I told them that was my running joke on this podcast. And I was going to tell them, but J-Mac, you beat me to it. What did you tell them at the end of that movie?
I said, see, nothing bad happened on the train.
Yes.
Is going to kill us when she listens to this episode. If she listens to this episode.
I might just
avoid it altogether.
The train was keeping them safe from the bigger threat.
Yes. The train was protecting them.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of, like, how, like, good of an adaptation this is, though, I was surprised, like, how much Ufotable really did, like, extend out certain scenes. Like, when, like, there's that initial dream sequence with, like, Rengoku fighting those, like, imaginary demons on the train.
Yeah.
Or, like, Inosuke's dream, where, like, oh, they're, like, God, some weird splunky style thing.
So much more fun.
That was so funny.
Yeah. I like how, at first, it wasn't very obvious that that we were looking at Rengoku's dream. Like, it wasn't I was a little bit dissatisfied with, like, how not obvious it was that they were dreaming at first. But then, like, I think it kind of later became pretty obvious once you saw, like, Zenitsu had buck teeth and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the trigger for when you can tell it's a dream is the light flickering.
Yeah, that was the hint.
Or also, but, like, also you could tell, like, when they were just all floating around Rengoku. Train us, bro!
Yes. I think only Alien might get this reference, but, like, Zenitsu really looked like Iyami from Osomatsu-san. He's this, like, character with, like, really big buck teeth and, like over-the-top flamboyant gag character. And, like, in all the dream sequences, that's literally what Zenitsu looks like, because he's, like, super extra and, like, pretend to be fabulous.
I mean, he was Chunitsu in Inosuke's dream.
Yeah, that was...
The fact that Inosuke still can't get their names right after this long.
Yeah, so I forget, are we going to talk about, like, the plot in order, or are we just going to just talk about highlights?
Highlights.
We'll be here for, like, hours. Okay, so it was, like, really interesting
because, like, they traced the manga, not traced, but, like, you know what I mean. Like, they followed the manga's plot, like, note for note, like, exactly. Like, right down to tie yourselves to them, but don't touch them directly or they might wake up and stuff like that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, because, like, the improvements they do make primarily revolve around, like, things like removing third-person narration and moving that to, like, actual character dialogue, which is really good. Like, one character that was inside Tanjiro's dream.
Oh, man.
Like, the explanation of, like, how he had that change of heart is now said by him directly rather than just a third-person narrator.
God, by the way, can we talk about how, like, freaking Tanjiro just casually changes everyone's lives for the better, even in his dreams?
Yes! Seriously? He's so pure.
I love, like, it.
Like, I like how, like, you know, you see Rengoku's inner, like, his subconscious, and just full of fire, and, like, the girl's like, okay, better not run into Rengoku's true self. But before she even has the opportunity, Rengoku literally just grabs her and just starts strangling her.
Yeah.
Yeah, his survival instinct kicked in even though he was asleep.
I love that was fun in the manga, but that was like way more fun in the movie.
Two of the other assassins didn't have that same level of luck with meeting true selves, because they met Zenitsu's true self and Inosuke's true self, and oh my god, they were way better than they were in the manga.
Honestly though, Tanjiro's dream really hit me in a way I wasn't expecting.
Because
it's sad, but like the way they framed and everything is like makes it more depressing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's everything he could possibly want, but he knows that he can't just stay there.
The part when Dream Nezuko shows up, man.
Oh god, yeah. Oof. But no, like I also liked how when once the demon got really pissed off at Tanjiro because Tanjiro kept just getting out of the dream, he put him into a dream where like they're like, "You killed us, you should have been the one to die." It very much touched on Tanjiro's survivor's guilt, and I really, really liked that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I like when he breaks out of it, he's like, "I know my family would not have said that."
And that's when he was especially pissed and was like, "Okay, that demon's gonna die."
That was I liked that where he's just like, you know, "Don't you put words in my family's mouth. Your like portrayal of them insults their memory."
That was the one part I was excited to hear in the dub, and holy shit, Zach Aguilar fucking killed that scene.
Yes. I got chills. Yeah. Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, like after when I first watched in Japanese, I was like, is Zach really going to be able to match this? And he did a pretty damn good job. Like, yeah. Most of the emotional beats I felt were just as good, which is very tough to do.
So I remember when we did the episode about the trailer, I was like, what the hell is wrong with Zenitsu's voice? Because he's like, "I'll protect you, Nezuko." But no, his voice was normal. It was just because he was in full simp alchemist mode.
Yes. I love that.
I loved when he met the assassin. Like, "What are you doing in here? The only person allowed in here is Nezuko. You're not Nezuko.
You must die.
Even his initial dream, where it's just like him and like Nezuko running around.
Yeah.
Alex Lee's performance there is just so good.
Oh yeah.
God, Alex Lee, it just owns this role so well.
I feel bad for his throat, but he did a very good job.
it was a sacrifice that was meant to happen.
That guy is a fucking wizard with his voice, man.
Right? Oh,
yeah, yeah, I don't know like what sort of vocal training he does, but whatever it is, it's working.
I remember when Inosuke was vindicated about the train, because you know he thought it was a demon at the very first.
I knew it.
Yes.
And he just like Inosuke laughs and just like, yep, yep.
The leader Inosuke is always right.
Yes. Yeah.
I loved the visuals around Rengoku's fighting style.
Oh man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was amazing.
Like the way they played with color and just the way the fire worked around him was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, very pretty to look at.
Like there was one shot that I thought was like, I'm like, oh, that's definitely going to wind up as someone's desktop wallpaper or a GIF. He, like, there was a fire arc around him, and his cape was flared out in a half circle. So you just saw, like, the flames on it, and they were, like, shimmering and everything. And it was just one of the coolest shots ever.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Like, my favorite moment with him is where he, like, goes through the entire freaking train and, like, cuts it up with, like, his flame breathing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that was amazing to look at.
One of my favorite effects in this movie was the train getting all demonized. It was just like, oh shit. Oh no.
Yeah, that was really creepy looking.
Oh, my coworker pointed out to me, by the way, Nezuko is now the only person who has seen Zenitsu fight full on. And she can't talk, so everyone else still thinks Zenitsu's a little bitch.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he still is, but I mean...
but you're right.
Although, he's getting what he deserves.
And we're screwed up. Put Zenitsu to sleep. That's a dangerous prospect.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, a sleeping Zenitsu is a bigger threat to you than a fully conscious...
Yeah,
I think it's from later on, but there's a line from Inosuke where it's like, "You should just stay asleep at all times."
Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about Rengoku before, but I really gotta praise Mark Whitten's performance as him. Because, like, he really kind of got the energy that Rengoku usually has. Especially during those emotional moments, like, in the latter half of the film. Where it feels kind of dissonant with how he usually acts, but it still feels very true to the character in, like, terms of, like, his honor code and, like, just his general personality of, like, fighting and helping people that are weaker than him. Which I thought was really cool.
Oh, yeah, no, Rengoku's whole conversation with that demon was phenomenal.
And of course, there's this introduction where he's going, "Tasty!"
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Kick out of that. So that was funny.
Tasty!
Just walking into the train and just hear him go, "Tasty!" And they're just like, "What the heck is that?" And they just, Rengoku just yelling, "Tasty!" after every bite that he takes.
And those, like, gag, like, shots where, like, he's getting randomly bigger. And, like, Tanya's like, "Why are you so big?"
Actually, acknowledged.
Yeah, no. Rengoku. So, like, you know, in an attempt to try to stay on the same topic so that we don't bounce around and make editing hell or even listening hell, Rengoku was done so well in this movie. Like, from the way he was animated to the way he fought to his voice acting, he was perfectly done, in my opinion. Like, I feel like they couldn't have done him any better.
You got to have the perfect send-off for him because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is his story more than anything.
Oh, yeah. I really, really loved the contrast. Like, so, I mean, the contrast was there in the manga between him and that one demon, but, like, I feel like it was a lot more, like, present in the movie, where the demon's like, "No, you could live forever, and, like, we could fight forever." And, like, that demon guy seemed legitimately distressed that Rengoku didn't want to live forever.
I did get that in the manga, but I will say with the voice acting giving more, you know, depth to the feeling of what he's saying, yeah, no, the movie gets it way across more that he actually was legitimate. It wasn't a trick. He legitimately wanted him to stay around so he could keep fighting him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, part of it too is, like, since the series is over now, they know where Akaza's character is going, so they can kind of emote that a lot better in the acting. And yeah. I really do gotta praise, like, Lucien Dodge on that too, because, like, man, he nailed Akaza. Akaza is, like, one of my favorite Demon Slayer characters, and it lived up to the hype in the dub.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I feel hell yeah.
Like the one problem I had with, like, even this part of the manga, and but also which that therefore extends to the movie, that dream demon guy, the lower first dude,
Enmu, yeah,
he's not very, like. So every demon up until this point, what are they called?
Kizuki.
I almost want to say Kizuki. I almost said Hisaikai for some reason. The other Kizuki, like, have been very humanized in their killings. Like, you know, we learn their tragic backstories. This guy, when he died, all he was bitching about was, oh, how he's not going to be able to be strong. I'm like, okay, I don't care. Fuck you. You deserve to die.
I mean, that's a good contrast, though, because it breaks from the formula, and it's just like, hey, not every single one of these demons has circumstances to be evil. This guy is just a fucking Muzan simp and wants to suck all of his blood and shit, so, I mean...
True.
And that does fit with his prior appearance, where he's just like, yeah, do whatever you want to be, Muzan.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he did appear previously.
Yeah. He was in, like, the episode before last.
He's the masochist demon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shows up at, like, episode 24 or 25 or something.
I was kind of surprised at where the movie ended, but, like, I remember in the manga, like, we had the little visit and we had that closure, right, with the visit with Rengoku's family. This just means to me that season 2 is going to start with the biggest emotional gut punch in the fucking world.
Especially Seriously. If you don't see this movie. Especially if you don't see this movie. It's going to be like, what?
Well, no, yeah. That's just... Well, it's not... In that case, it's not going to be an emotional gut punch. That's just going to be confusion.
Yeah, and... Oh, shoot. I should have seen the movie before watching this season.
Yeah, yes. That's fair.
Tsunami, please.
Please, Tsunami. Don't make us come... Jason DeMarco, don't make us come get another interview where we just say, get the movie!
But yeah, nah, it's funny because, like, I looked at a few reviews of people that just went to the movie, without watching season one.
Oh no!
Why would you do that?
Oh my gosh. So my coworker actually told me about this. So there was a family in there that, like, the kids had, or one of, some of them had not seen any Demon Slayer. And he overhears them, like, saying, like, yeah, maybe I'll watch the actual show now. I'm like, why would you watch this movie without, what?
So I think, like, part of it, a lot of critics are watching it because it's, like, a big film. And they, I guess they don't want to spend the time to go watch the show for some reason. And it's funny looking at those reviews, too, because, like, they admit, like, okay, it's pretty, but I don't understand anything that's going on. And it's like,
gee, no, I shit, wonder of why. Course not.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
Yeah. And I was actually watching one of those reviews earlier myself, and they were also watching the subbed version, and I don't know if it was like the official translation or something, but there was a part where they were talking about this one part near the end, and the translation for it was so weird. I didn't even understand what they were supposed to be saying, and I've seen it. I think it was the point where Rengoku's mother was talking to him.
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, like, I've mentioned this, like, to depth at this point, but I was interviewed by the New York Times fairly recently about Demon Slayer, and one of the questions they asked me is, like, hey, do you think people can go and see this movie without any context? And I'm like, if you really want to, then I guess go ahead, but you should probably go in with some context. It's
a literal sequel. I'll say this. It works as a standalone movie. It does do some establishment early on. But other than that, you need to see the initial series to understand fully what's going on.
Who the main trio are at all.
I think you might get a good grasp on a few things by the end, but you're not going to be attached to the characters in the same way as watching the show.
Although you will be just as attached to Rengoku.
Say that much. Yeah, because like
that emotional moment will still hit just as hard.
Rengoku's only appearance before is, hey, that's a demon in a box.
Hey, oh. I talk very loudly.
Yes.
I'm a Hashira.
Oh, yes. The master's okay with it. Then I'm okay with it. That's my entire appearance. Congratulations.
It'd be like going in to watch a Phase 3 or 4 Marvel movie or show without having seen any of the other stuff. You're not going to have any context.
I literally saw one review that said that.
Well, it'd be like going into Return of the Jedi as your first Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I guess so. Though I think that's the first Star Wars movie I ever saw, actually. I liked it, but I was very confused.
I think that is what you'd get if this was your first movie. Or first Demon Slayer. Blech.
Also, I know this is something Alien really wanted to talk about, but God, the music.
Oh my freaking God. Yes, the music. I don't know what the hell Yuki Kajiura and Goshino were sipping when they were making that movie, but I want that shit because, damn, they went crazy on the music, especially the score during the Rengoku and Akaza fight. Holy fuck, they did not have to go that hard on that, but I am glad they did.
That, like, Akaza theme, it was giving me, like, Pillar Men song vibes.
Yes!
It made it, it was... I loved it because it was like unsettling and also just like made it feel like you knew just from the music, this guy does not fuck around.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I couldn't quite catch what instrument it was, but like the main instrument that's like throughout the theme, just like with that little riff that goes on throughout the entire theme, it just adds so much to Akaza's character and just to the entire thing overall. And then when they group in like all the rock and stuff to it, it just, that shit hits different, man.
Oh, you're
that
right.
That is so good.
That whole fight scene, like, it's just a marvel to watch.
Yeah, like, if I had any real complaints about this movie, I'd say during a lot of the more idle scenes, it doesn't look any much better than the show. But Rengoku versus Akaza, that's where it slaps.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, there are some, especially on the comedic scenes, I'm like, okay, this is just straight out of the show. But when it's like in action mode, oh man, it blows the show out of the water.
Yeah, which I mean is kind of a shame because like a lot of recent Yuffie Table movies have been like insane in terms of animation. Like the Final Heaven's Feel film is probably like one of the best animated films I've seen in ages. So it's kind of a shame that Mugen Train didn't get that type of treatment, but they still made it like look amazing in the places that really mattered. So it's kind of like a trade-off there.
I mean, in a sense, like Demon Slayer already had pretty high production values for an anime adaptation in general. And then on top of that, since it's straight up a continuation of where we left off, it's basically just like a longer episode of the show, which, I mean, not really a problem for me in terms of that. But, you know, they went off when they needed to. And that's enough for me, honestly.
I tend to agree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like when it was being silly and it looked like the show, I'm like, cool, you're being a silly scene, it's fine.
The flip side is it's not going to feel too jarring going from Mugen Train to the Entertainment District.
Oh man, that's going to be interesting. I'm very much looking forward to season two at this point. And I am wondering what they're going to do to try and, you know, oh yeah, you just watched a badass movie. All right, now we're going back to normal budget.
I mean, they'll probably pull a MHA and do like the first episode is like a recap and be like, hey, this is how Rengoku died and why everyone is sad now, and you should be sad too.
That's probably the smart move, just because I don't know if everyone's going to get to see that. Although in Japan, everyone saw this, let's be real.
I mean, like, it's going to be available digitally in June.
Yeah.
Now find me someone in Japan who hasn't seen this, and I'll find you a heretic.
Yeah,
and
it's literally the highest grossing film of all time in Japan. It outsold Spirited Away.
Well, it's doing really well here, too. Like, I'm amazed how well this movie's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes to show that there is a demand for anime films, and they should probably get wider releases, because it's doing just as well as Mortal Kombat in half as many theaters.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yes, please.
That says a lot, and I'm really hoping that some between this and Dragon Ball Super Broly and several of these other, like some of the One Piece films, I'm really hoping that this sends a message to the powers that be that there's money here. Give us more showings.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, I wouldn't be surprised if the upcoming Jujutsu Kaisen movie gets a very similar release to this.
I'm going to go see that for sure, and I'm dragging you guys with me, whether you like it or not.
It's a prequel, too, so it's a very good entry point.
Oh, so I don't even have to show them the show first. Is it what I think it is, V-Lord? Is it the chapters of the manga I think it is?
It's Volume Zero.
Ooh.
Laser, have you not read Volume Zero yet?
I'm not sure if I have. I'm several months behind.
By the way, remember how we were like, why is it rated R?
Yes.
I found the R rating.
What was the R rating?
Remember, I leaned over to you at a very specific point. I'm like, oh, there's the R rating.
Yeah. Yeah.
The suicide scene?
Yes. Yeah. Every single one of them.
Yeah. That's probably why it's rated R. That plus, oh my God, this Japanese thing. I don't understand it.
Well, also, there was a lot of blood there. Like, more than typically shows up in most PG-13 movies I've seen.
Yeah, but at the same time, the Fate movies were able to get away with, like, a PG-13 rating.
I've seen more blood in PG-13 anime before.
So have I.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
How the fuck did the Fate... What? How?
Yeah, hearing that Fate got a PG-13 is actually legitimately surprising.
I'm pretty sure it was PG-13.
How the fuck? With how fucked up Heaven's Feel is, how the fuck that shit get a... What? Okay.
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
No, like, I was watching the movie. I'm like, oh, there's the R rating.
Yeah. Tanjiro powering through those is one of the...
Suicide will always get, Suicide will always get an R rating for some reason.
Wait, so what about Decapitation? Doesn't that also typically get an R rating?
No.
No?
I okay. mean,
Suicide carries more baggage with it, emotionally speaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just wasn't sure if like decapitation was up in the same like criteria for the rating system or not.
Counterpoint, Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings had a lot of decapitations from what I remember.
Yep. Okay.
And those were PG-13.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand how the movies rate things. They're weird.
No, I don't understand either. Half
the ratings
time.
Board works in mysterious ways.
The ratings board I don't understand this Nihongo cartoon thing. I'm confused. I don't understand. Okay, it's rated R.
Usually, though, it's very rare for an anime film that's brought over to get
a
R rating. And honestly, I was looking into this with Heaven's Feelers Double Jack. I think they might not have even rated it.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that makes more sense than PG-13.
That makes considerably more sense.
So I was thinking, okay, it definitely was not R because no one got their ID checked. But yeah, they just didn't rate it, I think.
The only thing I know about movie ratings is that if you say fuck more than once, it's rated R.
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably had to get set in for a rating because it was submitted to the Oscars.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What Demon Slayer was?
Yeah.
Oh.
It didn't get a nomination, obviously, but it got submitted.
That's funny.
I mean, a lot of like the super big anime films would get submitted for Oscar nominations and not get nominated. Because I think Your Name did, too.
They don't have those G-Kids connections.
Alas.
Yeah, who cares about the Oscars anyway? They only give best animation to Disney and Pixar films.
Exactly.
It's true.
I mean, the numbers came in and somehow the Game Awards got more views than the Oscars this year.
That doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me, but ow.
To quote that one guy from the Game Awards a few years ago, fuck the Oscars.
Exactly.
Oh man, yeah. I guess my main thing on this movie is just wow, they nailed it, and I think I love how they twist the knife in the ending credits.
Oh,
here's Rengoku. Here's some more Rengoku. Did we mention Rengoku? Hey, look, it's a Rengoku on another Rengoku.
Yeah, that song is also like entirely about passing on and stuff too, so it just like drives in the nail further.
Yeah,
as if I hadn't already been crying all as it was.
I don't think any of us got out of that theater without crying at least once.
Oh no, it only happened about three times.
You got better than me. I think I had five.
Yeah, like the people in my theater were like sobbing like crazy. I was like,
the group behind us, there was a young lady who was absolutely bawling.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's a very emotional movie.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I mean, I cried when it was in black and white, and of course I cried when it was in color too.
And we have a mutual friend who asked me how the movie was, and I just sent them a picture of Tanjiro crying, grasping his siblings.
I just sent my friends like one of the meme, like a meme of a guy dancing, but it's just like that shit hurt it.
Yeah. I'm just gonna send my friend a Rengoku gif later today, and he's gonna just fucking murder me.
This is why we stay on the train, kids. Yep, don't get off the train.
Because nothing bad happens on trains. I haven't said that enough this podcast yet.
Yeah. Oh, Meowth's already told me she'll kill me if you look at the Discord.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
You still got to give props to Rengoku, though. There was like 200 people on that train and not a single one died.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Yeah, that's a dang miracle.
Dude did what he set out to do.
Yeah, it's like Tanjiro was screaming at the end, he won.
I just love how casually he was just like, hey, yo, so I'm gonna get like five of these cars and they'll be all right. Y'all get the other ones. Like five out of eight big cars on a big-ass passenger train. And he's just like, I got this, no problem.
Yeah, don't worry about it, buddy. Five, that's nothing for me. Yeah, the other depressing part of this movie, though, was, like, at the end when, like, the leader of the Demon Slayer Corps, like, Ubayashiki, he's like, oh, I'm not too sad about Rengoku dying, because I'll be dead soon, too.
That was, well, then...
Knowing what I know, that midday, it hurts more.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, any other thoughts?
Fuck that guy. Tanjiro was right. He's a fucking coward. He's a little bitch, and I hope he fucking dies painfully.
You heard it here first. Fuck Akaza.
Yeah, fuck Akaza. I love Akaza, but also fuck Akaza.
Did I miss anything in my description of Akaza alien?
I don't know. I think you could stand to call him a bitch a little bit more.
I mean, just
a little bit more, though. I mean,
yeah.
He goes hard, but he's also a little bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a really cool design, though.
He really does. He's he's got one of my favorites, if not my actual favorite design of all the Kizuki.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool looking. And his fighting. Voice acting was also great.
Oh, yeah. And his fighting style. His fighting style is cool. It's like all these other demons are just like freaking Rui is like, I have spider webs and shit and I can cut my own head off with them. And then this other dude is just like, I could put you to sleep and kill you in your dreams. And then Akaza's just, these hands rated E for everyone. Get the fuck over here.
They imply in the fight too that like, yeah, Akaza used to be like a martial artist when he was human. So like, he has this very unique combat style to him.
Yes.
You know, I honestly thought that like Akaza was going to be defeated because do you guys remember how in Full Metal Alchemist there was a certain I think it was Lust. They had to like basically burn her so she couldn't regenerate. Like, you know, outdo her regeneration through like just burning her up. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
That's a very memorable.
I thought they were going to do the same thing with Akaza. I thought that Rengoku would basically just try and like use so many fiery attacks and stuff like that that it would just kind of, you know, burn out his regenerative abilities. But nope, that didn't happen, unfortunately.
Not everything goes as planned.
In the words of Marvel movies, Akaza will return.
Now, I was just thinking throughout most of that fight, like, oh, I want Rengoku to win, but it's still too early.
I like how they set it up with like that lower three guy, that lower one guy was like the upper guys have been around for hundreds of years, and like no matter how high the body counts of the Hashira, they've killed Hashira before. So, they set that shit up.
Oh, yeah. They're like, yeah.
Masterfully.
Hashira are nasty hard. They kill us all the time, but these guys just kill Hashira, no problem.
Yeah. The other little tidbit there that was really cool is that the silhouettes that are showing up when Enmu's mentioning them are the finalized character designs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unlike in the manga where it was still, like, very, like, vague shrouds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I recognize those guys.
I was like that Leonardo DiCaprio pointing me. I was like, oh, snap, it's them.
We'll see you in like 5 seasons.
Yeah,
we see you in a while, crocodile.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised that I've already said that. Actually, never mind. I was about to say that they didn't visit the dad. Because I feel like that would have just given a rounded sense of closure to the movie.
I think the movie wanted you to leave sad as to feel like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, since we were making Marvel comparisons, it was like, you know, the ending of Infinity War, where it just ends with, like, the most heartbreaking
thing. Everyone fucking
thing.
Dying.
And then that's how
Endgame also ended.
Yeah, you just, like, walk out of the theater, you're just like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, Endgame, I thought, like, they tried to leave it off on a slightly more positive note, but it's like the impact of, you know, Tony Stark's death just kind of stays with you. Like, it's kind of hard to pick it back up to a lighter note after that.
I forget, isn't the final scene of Endgame Cap handing off the shield
Falcon? Yeah,
I think that's right.
Yeah. But even then, you still have that everything hanging over you. But I also liked on this one, because it was also, you know, in that movie, it was passing on to a new generation of heroes. This was also passing on to a new generation of heroes. Like, Rengoku telling Tanjiro, and Tanjiro and crew, I believe that you guys are the next Hashira.
Oh yeah, and he's like, "Don't get yourself killed right now, because that would mean my failure. That would mean my defeat. It is my job as a Hashira to protect the younger Demon Slayers." I'm just like, "Oh God, you Chad,
don't fuck up, kids."
Like the way the emotional note it left at the end was beautiful.
Oh yeah,
like just. It affected literally everyone. Like, even the fucking crow was crying.
Yes. Oh, that I did notice that. I don't think that was that in the manga? So I don't remember that from the manga.
I'd have to double check.
I think it was a panel, but I don't remember.
I think it was. Yeah, but
I could easily have missed or forgotten.
Yeah, I vaguely remember seeing that in the thing, in the manga.
It could be.
Yeah,
never mind.
I do like at the end that like we see everyone's reaction to Rengoku's death, because like
yeah,
we haven't known him for that long, but it is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's around for a short time, but dang, do you get to know him real fast. You might say he burns out like an ember.
I'm going to fucking kill you, Brian.
Okay, everyone, we're gonna go beat up Laser.
I'm gonna go hide. You will never find me.
I know where you live, and I know where you sleep.
Unfortunately, every single one of this call, except for Alien, knows where I live, so I'm in trouble.
I will make a pact with fucking Luzon to find you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was funny, because like I remember when like theater listings went up, and you're like, oh God, the nearest like theater is like an X place, and I'm like, wait a minute, that sounds wrong. And I'm like,
I was using Funimation's theater finder, and it's like, oh yeah, you're closest to Salt Lake City. I'm like, I don't want to go to Salt Lake City.
And then I like literally typed in your city into Fandango, and I'm like, oh, it's right there. Right,
yeah, I don't know why, because I use Fandango too, and it was just like, no, nothing. I'm like, what do you mean nothing? And then I searched my local theater, and I'm like, yeah, we got it. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, sometimes those apps can be weird. I've had it sometimes showing movies playing where they actually weren't playing. Sometimes they've showed movies not playing where they actually were.
Technology. Hmm. I mean, just ask PlayStation about technology.
Or maybe don't.
That might be a bit of a touchy subject.
I don't know if I could ask them to get like more anime movies out early before they die. I would appreciate that.
PlayStation's gonna leak all the Fate Stay Night movies.
You heard it here first.
I would be down with that.
I feel like Demon Slayer is going to be the series that like makes UFO Table a force to be reckoned with.
I mean, they've kind of already been, because like
they've been making that fake money.
it's the show that's gonna get them to be more known outside of just the hardcore anime market, though.
Yeah, this is going to make them like a mainstay name.
Like, in a sense, though, people have already known about UFO Table, because like anytime there's a new Fate movie or stuff, like any place where you see like anime gifs and stuff, you will see Fate everywhere.
The unlimited budget works meme.
I mean, the popularity of Astolfo is fucking staggering.
Well, I mean, no, they didn't animate Apocrypha, but
that was A1.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but like. Like when Unlimited Blade Works TV came out, like I didn't even watch Fate, but like back when I used to be on Tumblr, I used to always scroll by GIFs from that, and like yeah, like that animation is just like even if you don't know the studio by name, you've probably seen a GIF or two.
Yeah, and it's crazy too, because like despite all the memes about UFO Table, their productions aren't that much more expensive than any other average show. It's just they have very talented animators that like work themselves to death.
I felt like for this movie, like compared to the rest of Demon Slayer, they pulled out all the fucking stops. Like they just were going hard the whole fucking time. Like the way they played with colors, the way just everything worked, like the 3D modeling, everything was gorgeous.
Yeah, and I think all those things have like really helped with its success, because it would be one thing if like this was just a very average made movie of Demon Slayer. It would have still done well, but I think the combination of it being Demon Slayer and also a very well made film has like garnered the success that it has.
A lot of it is, I mean, it's, I'm going to be honest, at its core, it's a very typical shonen anime.
I mean, yeah. It's,
Demon Slayer is not completely groundbreaking by any means, but the way the story is told is slightly a little bit different. Not if you like look at it from the top, but like the combination of that and plus being blessed with like one of the best anime studios to handle that shit. Like, yeah, that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of anime fans underestimate how much a good adaptation can really help a series.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like I don't think MHA or like even Jujutsu Kaisen right now would be as popular as they are if it weren't for the fact that they have good studios working on them.
Yeah, I was about to say, Thank God we're getting that treatment with Jujutsu Kaisen now, because...
Oh, God, yeah. Thank God. Thank you, God.
Just imagine if the studio behind season 2 of One Punch Man was behind Demon Slayer.
Oh no.
or like...
I can do you one worse. It could be Studio Pierrot.
Damn it, I was about to say that. I was literally about to say that.
I stole it from you, I'm sorry.
I don't know who that is, so...
Bleach.
They did Bleach.
Oh. Yeah, they did Naruto and Bleach.
Oh.
Though, like, Pearl's capable of making good stuff, but, like...
Yeah, they also did Yu Yu Hakusho back in the day, but that was back in the day.
It's all a matter of who you can get in, like, a short span of time and who's available.
Yeah, hopefully Ufotable stays with Demon Slayer, because I know sometimes animation studios switch and stuff, and it's stupid.
No, I think they will. That's bank right there.
After that movie, there's no way they're gonna go away from that.
Unless, like, there's, like, a big reason why Aniplex wants to work on something else, like, I don't see them moving away from Demon Slayer.
Aniplex not wanting to make money? What?
Like, the only reason I could see not, like, being them is if, like, they get another really big Type Moon project to work on, and Type Moon spends a lot of money to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Because Ufotable doesn't really do a whole lot, like, of long, prolific work outside of Fate, and I guess now Demon Slayer, in terms of, like, prolific work.
They've been pretty rigid on, like, limiting the amount of shows they produce, so, like, the quality stays consistent. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, they don't, like, pick up projects like crazy, like, say, MAPPA is doing right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because MAPPA was just like, hey, we have God of High School. Hey, we have Jujutsu Kaisen. Hey, we now have Zombieland Saga 2. Let's go.
And just Chainsaw Man.
And Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, like, it's gone to the point with MAPPA that they literally have to start hiring animators from overseas via, like, places like Twitter to, like, just get enough people to get shows done. It's, like, absurd. But yeah, luckily Ufotable's not doing that, and they will hopefully stick with Demon Slayer for the foreseeable future.
It would be cool if they could finish the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, it won't take that long, because, like, Demon Slayer is not a very long series.
Nah, and it's over now, so there's no reason for them to worry about it anymore, either.
Probably, like, 3 or 4 seasons.
Maybe probably even 2 or 3.
No, I mean, like, 2... I mean, 3 or 4 total. I mean, like, 3 or 4 total seasons.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Now, I was actually really surprised when I heard the manga was ending, because, like... Wait, the anime almost just started. The manga's ending already? What?
The manga ended right when I could catch up with it, and I was so sad.
Funny how that works out.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this, though. It's a great ride. When it finishes, you guys are going to love it.
All right, good to know.
I mean, I had plenty of conversations when we actually had that podcast, but I have minor issues, but it's very satisfying.
And hey, some of those things might be improved in the anime. You never know.
The sort of things I have problems with actually really could be, because they could easily solve a lot of those issues with little hints earlier.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
Or maybe some expansions.
I'd be down for some expansions for sure.
But I think this seems like a good place to end off our discussion. I think overall we're very positive on this film.
This film sucks. Go watch X-Arm. X-Arm is truly the greatest anime of all time.
The masterpiece X-Arm.
No, I got you on better. Let's go watch Redo a Healer. It's much better.
J-Mac is going to go to fucking...
And then I will become the guy in Redo of Healer, kill you, and do it again.
J-Mac gonna go over to Laser Kid's house and then go Akaza on his ass.
Before we send me into a state of apoplexia.
Yes, before we go further into the deep, dark despair, Let's start with our dragon here. Our dragon, where can people find you?
So I'm on Twitter. I go by the RPG Dragon there, and I'm also on Twitch where I stream a lot, our Dragon's Den.
Awesome. And Laser Kid, where can people find you?
You can find me at Laser Kid Prime on Twitter. You can also find my Toonami Focus Reviews over on Toonami Faithful, as well appearing on their podcast. And of course, you can always find me on the Dumb Waves podcast.
And J-Mac, where can people find you?
When I'm not screeching at LK about the Blood of Muzan, you can find... You can find me on Twitch at JMacAfreak or on Twitter at RealJMacAfreak. Anywhere else on the internet, TikTok included, is just regular at JMacAfreak. I do daily, well, I try to do daily live streams. Check me out. I play a lot of games, a lot of adventure games, a lot of puzzle games. Yeah.
And Seraph, are there any places people can find you?
As of right now, I don't really have any recommendations for, like, you know, places like the Follow Me or anything. I'm not really, like, looking at too much into, like, being prominent online anywhere. So, as of right now, I can't really recommend anything. But
if you know, he's on Discord, but I only if you know.
Yeah. You'll find him in Laser Kid's basement.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. I mean, I do sometimes go to a Smash Brothers tournament that's at a place called Land King. And, you know, if I make it on stream there, maybe you could see me there. But that's only if I make it onto stream.
Well, okay, then. And Alien, where can people find your wonderful, wonderful self?
You can find me on the Twitter.com at Alien Renegade. You can find me on YouTube, sometimes making video edits under Alien Renegade Videos. And you can find my music on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, and every other major streaming service. Just search up AmpRen. And then sometimes I come up and say dumb shit on the Dumb Weebs podcast, where I also would be editing if I wasn't playing The World Ends With You for the 10th time, because the new game's coming out in July, and that's more important.
The biggest priority.
Heck yeah.
The two of you are the biggest fans of that I've ever known.
One day I will play that game.
Same.
Fucking do it. It's on Switch. Just buy it. Just buy it. It's like a 20-hour game. You can finish that shit in like a week.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it like $60, though?
I think it's like $50 on Switch.
Oh, okay. That's less bad. And tempting. But yeah, definitely follow everyone at their various places and give them some love. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at VLordGDZ. And then I also do various manga and light novel reviews for all-comic.com, as well as Toonami editorials for ToonamiFaithful.com. Like I mentioned before, I was recently mentioned in the New York Times in a Demon Slayer piece, so you can check out that as well. And then I do a bunch of podcasts because I don't understand the concept of free time. The obvious ones being Oversoul, Shaman King Podcast at Shaman King Pod, Saturday Night Shoggy at Sat Night Shoggy, Dumb Weebs Podcast, like Laser mentioned, at Dumb Weebs Pod. And then I'm occasionally on the Toonami Faithful Podcast on Twitter at Toonami Podcast. But as far as the Demon Slayer Podcast is concerned, you can find us on Twitter at DSlayer Podcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/DemonSlayerPodcast, and on the Toonami Faithful website itself at ToonamiFaithful.com/DemonSlayerPodcast. And the podcast is on basically every platform at this point for podcast streaming: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Podbay, you name it, we're there. So go listen to us, subscribe, and enjoy our episodes. But that does it for this episode, so we will see you guys later.
Remember, nothing bad happens on a train.
Thank God Allison isn't here.
Yeah, but something bad gonna happen at Laser Kid's house in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's gonna be a group beatdown.